It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. Take Command Instant Reaction Show. I'm Craig Hoffman. He is Logan Paulson. And, 30-23, Commanders go down in Baltimore. Close one, battle till the end, Logan. Obviously, you were there on the sideline. You made your way somehow out of the parking garage back home. What a battle you had today. But we can save that for the film breakdown, if you will. We'll break down how you maneuvered out of that parking garage in Baltimore. This was expected to be a tough game. I mean, I picked on Friday 27-24 Baltimore winning. So a 30-23 final, I would say, is not terribly surprising in any meaningful way. Ultimately, it comes down to the fact that the defense could not get key stops, but it also comes in a game where they really just needed one more stop. And, you know, I can point to at least one terrible call on Benjamin St. Juste on that PI on a third down that gets you that stop. So ultimately, I thought Washington showed themselves well. We'll obviously get a lot more into the details of how they could have shown better, and that's ultimately their goal. But I think from where I sit as an objective analyst on the outside with no impact on the actual outcome, Logan, that was a solid performance by Washington against a very good Baltimore team that was able to take advantage of the gap between these two football teams at this point in time.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot to unpack. I think in some ways, I think the defensive performance is somewhat exacerbated because there were a couple of those really long drives where Baltimore goes 93 and whatever it was, 90 yards. And you kind of hope that in a field position game, specifically in that first quarter, the defense would be able to capitalize on some of those moments and get the ball back to the offense. And, you know, I don't remember the exact percentage, but, you know, when it's a 90-yard drive, plus it's like a 5% chance to score or whatever that is. And so obviously there was something very kind of omnipresent about the Baltimore offense. I thought like it was just always very methodical, like a boa constrictor strangling its prey. It just had this ability to say, oh, we're going to run for 10. We're going to throw off the play action. We're going to pass protect. We're going to just kind of exploit what you're doing. And I think it showed just kind of a different caliber of team. And I think, you know, to Washington's credit, like they went toe to toe. But I think it's like one of those fights where you watch, you know, like if you're watching a prize fight and there's somebody who's significantly more talented, over the course of the fight, you kind of get fatigued. The issues of your lack of skill show up. And I think that was kind of what happened here with Washington. I told somebody, it kind of reminds me of like a high school football game. And I don't mean that in a disparaging way, just in terms of game flow. Like you can stand toe to toe with a better team in high school for a long time, but usually in the second half the discrepancies in rosters kind of show themselves, and I felt like that's what happened in this game specifically. And you know, I thought some of the matchups defensively were interesting. Obviously, like St. Juste, I think, has played much better this year on the whole. I think matchups like Mike Williams and T. Higgins favor his skill set more. And so coming in, this Zay Flowers matchup was always going to be one that was going to be a little bit challenging because Zay's a different type of guy. He's got tremendous foot quickness. He's a little bit more of a burner and not really fitting in St. Juste's wheelhouse the same way those other guys do. So there was a lot of things that were going to be difficult for this defense to manage, and I think it showed up, quite frankly. And And I don't think they played badly. And I know that sounds crazy, but I think they played more consistent than we saw them versus Tampa Bay, for example. They were more physical. They tackled better. But I think Baltimore was just, they were in their bag offensively, and it showed up.
Yeah, no, I think they got beat by a better unit. Like, at some point, you just have to go, like, okay, if in the middle of the week, and I know everyone's emotional right now because it's post game and everyone just wants, you know, everyone's out for blood after a loss. That's just how a fan is because you're emotional about it. But if I told you in the middle of the week, like which unit's better, Washington's defense or Baltimore's offense, you'd be like, Baltimore's offense. Okay, well, Baltimore's offense proved they were the better unit. And I think one, Todd Monken called a fantastic game. Like he was so in his bag. They were able to generate a rhythm. Washington couldn't get the pass rush to really, you know, wreck it. They got a couple in there, but like overall, there just wasn't enough consistent pressure. So you either had to generate pressure, which left St. Juste and others one-on-one on the outside. That didn't go well. Or you play coverage, and there's a couple times you do that, including, by the way, one of the touchdowns where like you take advantage of some youth. Like Quan Martin has played really, really well this year, but there's also inexperience at that position. I do believe on the touchdown, we'll confirm this on the film review, but getting to watch the All-22 back on the broadcast, but like the one where Lamar hits Mark Andrews, like it's cover six and Quan vacates his area, and Percy tries to go back and cover as the backside safety, but he doesn't have a shot at that. And it's like, good play. There's a good route concept against that defense. And so the Todd Monken did a really good job of figuring out, like, hey, they might bring pressure here. Let's have an answer. Hey, we're going to, they're probably going to maybe now play some coverage. Like, let's have an answer. Here's the coverage structures they've been playing all year long. This is how we take advantage of them. And obviously there's the, non-pen factor of Lamar Jackson make stuff happen. And we've been on the beneficiary of getting to watch that happen when Jaden does it. And it doesn't feel so good when it happens to you the other way.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that really stuck out to me is being on the sideline, and I don't know if I would have noticed if I was watching the TV copy, is the amount of communication Lamar does at the line of scrimmage, getting into right plays, into the correct plays, correct runs, correct protections. I think the touchdown of Mark Andrews is a great example. Like, they check to, whether it's cover six, cover two, cover four, they check to a route combination where you're attacking the middle of the field because it's split safety with a guy who's really good at it, Mark Andrews. He checked to that. He checked to the Derrick Henry, like the first time they ran the sweep to the left, he checked to that play. A couple of the play action passes, he looks out, he sees it's man coverage, he checks to those plays. And it was like a cheat code. It was really like his ability to identify the coverages. And that's something Fletch and I talked about, after the game, is just, Joe Witt Jr., like, could he have done more potentially to disguise some of the coverages and, like, make that a little bit harder? But I don't know if anybody thought, I know I didn't think it, that, like, he had that kind of ability at the line of scrimmage, very similar to Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, to just get you into the right look consistently. That was super impressive. And even the screen, like, they checked to the screen. Like a lot of the big plays, explosive plays in this game came from his communication and mastery of that offense. So it's one thing to kind of scheme up a defensive look, but then and it's one thing for the defensive coordinator to call something, but when the guy on the field who's playing the play can say, oh no, like, this is a better play, this is the right look, and the coordinator's ability, offensive coordinator Todd Monken, to get him to give him that flexibility, I think that really showed up big time for me at critical moments, like especially on those long drives. It's like you could tell they obviously had a run called. He gets up the line of scrimmage, he checks, and maybe the play call is a run check to a pass. You'd have to ask someone over there in Baltimore about that. But I just thought those plays were backbreaking because it took a group that was already a little bit outmanned, and then whatever advantage they had versus the run, whatever advantage they had against the pass, he would just check out of it and get you into something that was better. And I think that was something that, again, was really impressive from a Baltimore standpoint and just made it that much harder for Joe Witt Jr. and made it that much harder for the defense as a whole to win those downs. Like, the one that Zay Flowers, the third down pass that he catches, is a man beater that he checks to. Like, it just was like kind of at every turn, like, you might have had the right play called if you're Joe Witt Jr., might have been the perfect call, but then he checks to something that breaks its back, and I think that's
not so perfect
cool.
Anymore.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
right.
And they're like, to get one the other way, there was one of the few third down stops they get in this game. Bobby checks something super.
Right,
I have my notes in front of me of when it was, but I think it was like second quarter. They Bobby checks something super late, and they're able to get a pressure and get off the field. And so, if you're the one who makes the last call, then great. And Lamar does a really good job of being able to do that, even late in the clock. All right, now defense don't have time to check, because then you're going to wind up with half the defense running one thing, half the other, and all of a sudden you're in a bad look, and you just have to make a play. And credit to Mike Sanger, still gets the first interception of the year. Like, they were ready for some of those opportunities, but as you said, like, St. Juice just stuck in a bad spot against Zay Flowers. Whatever they did in the second half, like, I do think, like, obviously no one wants to hear any silver linings or anything like that, because it's just, hey, they lost, everything's bad. But Zay Flowers had 8 catches for like 113 or whatever it was in the first half. Yeah. He had 1 catch in the second half. So they were able to adjust some things. The problem was then the run game was basically unstoppable. What were you able to see from the sideline in terms of why, besides the fact that they're historically great at it, they're averaging over 6 yards a carry on the season. They flashed all kinds of numbers during the broadcast of how historic this running game is. Like, what was so hard to stop about it, watching it from field level, that you can appreciate maybe even more than you did watching it on tape?
Yeah, I think there's just a physicality to it. Your ability to get in 21, traditional 21 personnel, traditional 22 personnel. We're not using a tight end. We got Patrick Ricard back there, who is a big dude, man. He's like an extra offensive lineman. His ability to get downhill and create a crease on his own is really impressive. And then I think the other thing that stuck out to me is Derrick Henry, not as a power back, but just how explosive he is and how good his vision is, like, to the hole, is really impressive. Also, I think Daniel Falele, their right guard, gets a lot of heat in their media there. He's the big guy from Minnesota. he's a mismatch in the run game. I mean, he's 400 pounds and he leans on people. And every single time, whether he's on a double team with the center or a double team with the tackle, there's a soft spot there. So unless you peel those double teams really quick, like there's air there that needs to be kind of negotiated. And that's just who they are. Like Charlie Kolar, their tight end, their blocking Y, is legit. He's a really good inline blocking player. You couple that with Patrick Ricard, who you can move him around the formation and then run a play pass. And it's basically like having an extra lineman. Like it was unbelievable. Like he could just like Lamar could be like motion him over. You're right here. He could block a defensive end by himself. And to have that flexibility from your quote unquote fullback was just really impressive. And so to me, it was the front. It was the offensive line, Lamar, the fullbacks, the backs, Justice Hill, also the physicality that they ran with. And then kind of the secondary thing was the receivers. Like I know Zay Flowers was extremely productive, but it really, the driver was the front and how physical and how dominant they were. And credit to Washington's front. They drew a line in the sand and they were like, we're going to bloody your nose. And I have a lot of respect for that group, like a lot of respect for the defensive line and the linebackers. Cause like, yeah, they gave up a lot of yards, but one was on a big run by Lamar. But like on the whole, through the first three quarters of football, like it was a physical, like well tackled, well executed thing. And it just, the more physical, the bigger, the more polished group ended up winning. But kudos to that. I mean, that was something cool to watch from the sideline.
I know no one's going to be happy about giving up 4.8 a carry, but that's less than anyone else has done this year.
That's less than six, which is their average on the season.
6.1 is what they're doing going in. So good job. No, you need to get the stop late, and you got to figure it out, and they didn't. I think another thing that's really impressive, and we can talk about this more on Tuesday, some of the time, like because Ricard can be that extra guy on the edge, in some key moments, they went super condensed with their formation, and he's in there. And so everybody on the Washington defense is getting condensed. And then that line and Ricard move so well and Henry's so good on the outside that they're able to get that toss sweep. And, you know, that's been a huge play for them, obviously, all year. We saw it against Cincinnati, the 51-yarder last week. The big first down to seal the game help seal the game on the final drive. And then Lamar obviously gets the final one. But, like, their ability to be tight, have everything condensed and still get the edge without someone out there necessarily stealing it is really impressive. And they were able to do that in key spots. All right. Offensively for this one, Baltimore does a better job than basically anyone else outside of Tampa so far this year, which would track because that's the best defense they probably played outside of Tampa. That healthy version of Tampa that we saw in week one. So Jaden, I think, did very well for himself. I think his continued playmaking, the fact that he's never fazed by anything. Obviously Terry has a couple of monster plays. Noah has a couple of monster plays. They miss Brian Robinson, can't get the run game going. And then they also were able to contain Jaden as a runner. What do you think ultimately is like the most important piece of all of that, whether to the result of this game or something that maybe even you like moving forward and you hope that they learn from?
Yeah, I think the thing that stuck out to me is one of the reasons they've been so successful early in the season is their ability to run the football and be super efficient on first and second down. And that just wasn't here the same way in this game. Obviously, they were able to throw the football and do a lot of things that are very effective in terms of completing the football down the field, comebacks. I mean, there was a couple throws that Jaden made in terms of accuracy that were, you're not going to see anyone do it better than that. So that was really cool to see some of the completions to Zach Ertz kind of on those big sails or deep crossing routes. It was awesome to see, but they just couldn't sustain drives the same way because it got to a point where it was all on Jaden and all on the pass game. And that's just not what they've been successful with. And I think that's something that in the preview show that we were all a little bit concerned about was what if the game flow is such, what if the defense takes it away? And this is the first time, you know, Michael Pierce, is that their defensive tackle's name? I think he was healthy for the first time in a while. And he's, for my money, probably one of the best run-stopping defensive linemen in the NFL. You see his physicality, like fighting off double teams, pushing guys around. Jones is the guy's last name from UConn, number 98. Really physical guys, interior. And Bob, the 92, what's his name? I'm forgetting his name.
Matabike, yeah.
Yeah, like his ability to penetrate and get stuff up the field. Like, that's a different type of group. Roquan Smith's ability, the physicality in the run game. It just was a different level. And that was something that I was a little bit concerned about. And I think I talked to you about that right, you know, before the game was just, it's a different group. It's a different level of athlete. It's a different mindset. And I think that showed up in how they stopped the run. And I think obviously not having B-Rob is a big thing, but there was not a lot of air. And I think the other thing that this is like nerdy football stuff, but the game flow was such that they couldn't stick with the run. They got to a point where they were down 14. You got to throw. You got to get back. We got to narrow that gap. And I think that's something that really stuck out to me. Is just, I think Jaden's very skilled, but you need to make sure that you can maintain some type of positive game flow, because so much of what they've done in terms of alleviating pressure on the quarterback stems from their ability to run the football and their ability to run quick game. And credit to Baltimore, because they took that away as well.
They did. I still thought Jaden acquitted himself well as a passer. Oh, like, it wasn't too much for him. It's just like Baltimore's good in a couple of key spots. Like, they may be able to make a couple of plays. And, you know, Washington is like, they've done tremendously well for the receiving talent they have. But like, this is why, if you're Adam Peters, you're like, do we sniff around at T. Higgins? Do we, like, you know, obviously there's moves you probably want to make on the defense too. You want to figure out, like, can we sniff around and find someone who's willing to sell a corner at the deadline? Can we get a premier pass rusher? You know, and by the way, not having Dorrance Armstrong hurt for sure. He had a couple, you know, rushes early that showed some promise, and then he goes out fairly early in that game. So that's always stuff you're looking to upgrade your roster. And whether it happens, you know, during the season of the trade deadline, if you want to try to do it this year, or obviously we know Peters is going to look for that stuff in the draft moving forward. But someone else who can, you know, do some different stuff with the ball in their hands at a higher level, like OZ and Diami and all these guys, compete their faces off. But there's just a difference in, like, those guys and a T. Higgins, for instance. And you see it with what Cincinnati's able to do and some of the plays that he makes. And so it does come down to the fact that this is a, like, Baltimore's more talented. And that, you see where talent shows up. And even like something like Roquan being able to chase Jaden down when 95% of the linebackers in the league can't do it, and none of them play even for the teams that we've seen the last 4 weeks. Like, that ability to turn a what against other teams has been a 20-yard scramble into a 6-yard scramble on 3rd and 8, like, that is a huge, huge difference in this offense's ability to produce. And I think you saw some of that show up in a big way today, from, you know, some of their corners making plays to Roquan to, obviously, as you said, that front just consistently stuffing runs.
Yeah, and like you said, like, they're just a different caliber. Kyle Hamilton, the ability, his range, his physicality, what he did as a blitzer, I thought was also very excellent. Some of the stuff they did with some of their zone pressures gave him some freebies in terms of free runners. Kyle Hamilton won, I remember specifically, in the first quarter.
Yeah.
But, again, this was something we were worried about. And it wasn't the defense specifically. Obviously, that's a talented group. But it was how the offense played. And I think their ability to just possess the football and turn it into four-wheel drive and kind of this, again, this kind of inevitability, that's the word I was looking for earlier, the inevitability of the Baltimore offense. When they got that ball backed up, it was like, they're going to score. And they would just slowly, methodically, kind of, here's a run, here's a play action chunk, we're on the ball, another play action chunk, and then we're in the red zone, and it's a touchdown. And I think that was something that, again, like, if, think about it, if they're able to get a couple more stops, like, they're in this football game, but why aren't they able to get those stops? And that's something we'll be able to answer better in the film room. But the reverse goes for the offense as well. Like, can they be more consistent in terms of capitalizing on opportunities? And I felt like, I was talking to somebody about this after the game, look at the best teams in football right now, like Baltimore, Detroit, I think you probably throw in there, Kansas City. Like, they're playing excellent defense. Like, they can create pressure with four, they can cover with man-to-man coverage in the back end, and they can run the football whenever they want, and they have explosive, diverse playmakers. I think Detroit's probably the best example of that. You know, like, they just have different things they can bring out to you, as opposed to here, where it's like, oh, we can't run the football, now Jaden, go win us the football game and play excellent football. Look at Baltimore. It's like, oh, Derrick Henry? Oh, you stopped Derrick Henry, here's Zay Flowers. Oh, you stopped Zay Flowers, here's Mark Andrews. They just have different things they can bring. Oh, you stopped all those three guys? Lamar Jackson's going to run for 50 yards. They just have more weapons. And I think that's something that, like you said, is something we knew coming into this year, but I think it's, you see it on full display after a game like this. It's, is this roster playing well? Yes. Are they a good football team? Yes. Are they a top five football team in the NFL from a roster standpoint? Probably not. And I think that's something that, as a fan, I'm excited that they're playing so well given this current roster construction, but I'm also excited for the growth that can happen, you know, at the trade deadline or in the offseason or whatever.
For sure. And I think in the meantime, like, I personally will give them credit for going toe to toe with a team that is more talented than, like,
yes,
the play,
yes,
the play style, the, all that stuff. Like, I can't get mad at a team that did exactly what I thought they were going to do based off the talent. Like, could they have won this game? Absolutely. Does Baltimore beat them 10 out of 10 times? No. And if I had told you that in June, I think a lot of people would have been like, sweet, because there's a lot of folks that thought this was going to be like another 5-win type of season for whatever reason. And so, again, like, losses are never fun. Losing always sucks. But I think that this team proved that they can go on any given weekend toe-to-toe with some of the best in the league. Now you have to make sure that, like, okay, if that's who we are, if we're going to be this consistent team that makes you beat us, go out and smoke Carolina next week. And I know Carolina doesn't look as bad as they did in weeks 1 and 2, but like, they're not a good football team. You should go out and beat Carolina handily at home. And if you do that, like, I think we're exactly where we thought that we were going into the week, which is, hey, if you can get just continue to improve, like, we'll see where we are at the end of the year, but you've established who you are from an identity standpoint and a mentality standpoint. And if you keep doing those things, you beat Carolina, and then we'll see about, you know, this matchup against Chicago in a couple of weeks, who all of a sudden looks like they're onto some stuff.
Yeah, and I think, like, look at Dallas and look at Detroit. Look at that game today. That's easily how this could have gone. But no, like, there's character here. There's a backbone to this roster. There's a compete. There's a toughness. There's a fight. And like we've talked about ad nauseum, like, those things allow you to always be in the fight. If you're not constructed with those traits at your foundational core, obviously talent and everything stacks on top of that, but if you don't have those at your fundamental core, you're not going to be in games. And I think when you look at Dallas, one of the things, if you're a Dallas fan right now, you hate your life, because there's none of that on the roster. They don't have that throughout the roster the way this team does. They don't have that belief the way this team does. And I think that's something that every fan listening to this should be incredibly optimistic about, because that is a special thing to have that in year one through the first six games, and to go to toe-to-toe with maybe the third best team in the NFL, whatever, wherever you want to rank them in your power rankings. And again, like, there were times where, oh yeah, you are outmatched, but they didn't play that way. They played with a toughness and a mentality that was really special to watch, and a non-quit factor. Like, the fact the offense is able in a 2-minute situation drive the length of the field, and the field goal gets blocked. But there was all these things that were kind of that were there, and it's good to see. And there's no quit in this team, and that's exciting.
Really quick on the way out. Speaking of 2-minute situations, obviously you're talking about the one at the end of the first half. Second half, as they're driving down, how would you think of the tempo they play with? Like, is that one where you're like, man, they gotta get going a little bit? Or is it just kind of like, hey, we're going to need to stop. Like, let's just make sure we're methodical enough to score here. What did you make of how they managed the clock in the back half of the fourth quarter?
Yeah, it felt a little bit labored. And at that point in the game, it makes sense as to why. You know, they've had 4 quarters of football. They're kind of in... They're scraping the bottom of the barrel in terms of trick plays. I think credit to Cliff, man, did such a nice job of finding explosive opportunities on screens and two screens that I thought were really masterfully designed, and just putting Jaden in good spots. Like the first completion, I forget, it was the first completion of the third quarter where he boots out of the pocket, and instead of running a corner by Noah Brown, he just runs a little sit on the inside. It's a subtle thing, but it just, DBs match that pattern in a very specific way. And just to throw that in there, just for an easy completion, I just love that. Love, like, simple opportunities. And I just felt like they got to a point in the game where they had exhausted all of the new stuff, and it was becoming like, we have to, what do we like? We have to win. And when you're in that kind of mode going to score and you don't have all these things at your disposal, you know, they use that beautiful little trick screen to Terry where he gets blown up, but great job on a 3rd and 10. We're out of those kind of things, and we got to run normal offense. I felt like that's kind of where they were, and it was hard. Baltimore knew what they had to do, and they just couldn't get in a rhythm from a play call and execution standpoint the way they had in the first half. And it made sense to me. I've been there as a player in the NFL. It's hard because you're like, man, we used this play and we tried to run it again and they covered it. So now what do we do? And you're just kind of going through the checklist and you're like, man, we've used a lot of our offensive play calls that we would like to use in this situation. Now what? And it slows you down a little bit. And I think that's what you saw there.
Yeah. The one thing I'd be curious to ask Cliff on Thursday, and maybe I'll send this question in to my friendly beat reporter, one of them to ask, but like, if at the end of the Cincinnati game, some of those plays seem to get in a little late, And Jaden was like yelling at the sideline and all that kind of stuff. And if that's happening again, like, how are they working on that? Because that is the kind of thing that I do think if Cliff was asked about that and he felt like they weren't doing a good job, he'd be like, yeah, I got to do better there. And he will. If it's
and it's
like,
not so much that Cliff isn't getting the play in. It's just you're running, you have to run normal offense because you've taken all your shots. You know what I'm saying? You've taken all your shot plays, you've used them already. So you're like, now we got to run day four install, and everybody runs a version of that play. Baltimore's seen it a million times. Throwing windows are a little bit tighter. They're going to bring their pressures. It just turns up the volume a little bit in terms of difficulty.
Yeah, for sure. So I'd be curious what he says about it if he's asked about it. But overall, like, the bigger issue is they need to stop no matter what. And it did not feel remotely like they were going to get one. And sure enough, Derrick Henry gets a first, and then they're able to boot Lamar on that 3rd-and-1 and avoid a melee on the sideline. When Jeremy Hitchin did deliver a legal hit, he was still barely in bounds. But yeah, no one was going to like that at the end of the game, hitting Lamar. But ultimately, 30-23 is the final score. We will get much deeper into this game on Tuesday in the film breakdown. Get you ready for Carolina on Thursday. So make sure you are subscribed if you do not want to miss an episode. Take Command coming at you 3 times per week, including the Instant Reaction Show. Logan and I's next Instant Reaction Show will be live from Northwest Stadium after the Carolina game next week. Until then, we'll see you on Tuesday, and I'll see you tomorrow on the radio, 4 o'clock on the Team 980 for the Hoffman Show. For Logan, I'm Craig. Have a great rest of your night, everybody.